Dan, take it away.
Does someone else, why don't you guys, I mean, do the local hour and we'll help.
It's the Shipping Container talking to you on a Monday.
I thought that's what it was.
Football was back yesterday. I did not move my from my couch from about 12:45 until about midnight. Who's with me? Who digested Red Zone as much as I did? Tony, how do you feel today? Like crap, right? I feel terrible. And I
feel hungover. I feel so bad. I feel like I palpably drank yesterday so much and I don't feel good today. That's how I feel.
I honestly didn't drink a sip of alcohol yesterday, but I just drank sports and gambling and fantasy and Scott Hansen and his jaw. Oh my God. Don't look at me.
I have to look at you, though.
Yeah.
I mean, to look at you.
That's how we communicate. Whose intestines are feeling slothy?
Mine.
Mike, you purposely are trying to look like Gardner Minshew today, right? You're purposely doing that because
I noticed that the headband and the mustache combo automatically make it look like Gardner Minshew, and I'm fine with that.
When did you notice it? 12 hours before you decided to wear it?
Well, seeing how cool Gardner Minshew looks definitely made me take my buff around my neck and move it up to the forehead in terms of like a casual resting place. It works wonders because Minshew doesn't have the greatest hairline, but he has the headband, and you sort of, you know, Brett Michaels it.
Right.
So this covers up the entradas. I'm all in on Gardner Minshew. Everyone thinks they're tanking for a franchise quarterback. Little do you know they have one.
He should play the whole game in those short denim shorts. And you guys all saw John Gruden's hair, right? He needs a bandana like Brett Michaels too.
Poor guy. That's a lot of us would get caught in that spot. It's sweaty out. He's frustrated. I feel like that's just. I related to that a lot. I don't want to get caught sweaty with a camera from that angle.
How many people tweeted you that you look like the Coastal Carolina coach?
Oh, I got multiple things. I got that guy and some chubby golfer who has like my kind of face structure. I got two of those and they both look really like me.
You know how Instagram algorithms sort of just pick up on whatever is being searched on that router? And so now I'm getting advertisements for hats you can wear in the pool. Just because I look terrible. Like when I go underwater, I'm just like always holding my head and trying to move it. So like, I'm just getting that 90% of the time. Hey, look, man, it's a hat you can wear in the pool. So no one knows what it's really like up there.
I'm getting the target a lot of marketing. I'm getting a lot of exercise apps on those things. Like a lot of like, let's get moving. Let's run. Right. Jogging.
Our devices are absolutely listening to us, right? Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Are your devices listening to you? Because the advertising's a little too target specific.
I spend a second on a hotel's website, and every other page I go on, that hotel's website is in my face the entire time.
Yeah.
I mean, a second, it's 1 second there.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's crazy. I was researching how can I watch NFL Sunday Ticket as an Xfinity customer?
Boom.
And you can't do it here. And now every Instagram ad is switching to DirecTV.
The thing that's most disarming to me, though, is it's one thing for my devices to listen to me. It's another thing for all my devices to see my every insecurity, because if they're sending Chris exercise equipment and they're sending Mike, hey, your hair doesn't look good coming out of the pool, like they're looking at your soul, man. They know things about you your wife doesn't know.
Your weaknesses, yes.
That's horrifying.
It's bad.
What is it going to look like 25 years from now if that's where we are now?
They're just going to make, the internet's just going to start making purchases for you. You're just gonna have stuff arriving at your door.
Look, what if I don't want it though? I mean,
you don't even know your hair's patchy and all of a sudden you just get a box at home and you're like, oh no.
It's just like the rudest thing, you know, like the husband that buys his wife a Peloton for the holidays thinking like, yeah, you're gonna love this. Now your computer is just insulting you at every turn. You're gonna love these elastic waistband pants.
You should go with the jumpsuits. I love the idea of 25 years from now, Amazon is just telling you what's wrong with you. They're just sending you things to explain to you, maybe things you haven't looked at. Perhaps you didn't know that you had a hairy back because you just never sort of inspected it. And next thing you know, you're getting all sorts of hairy back equipment, all sorts of manscaping equipment. Your teams, guys, everyone on this Zoom call, except for Billy, who's a Marlins fan.
TC beat Dan, that's what they did this weekend.
Yeah.
Back to your point, sorry.
Everybody on here has a terrible team.
Yep.
except for the Miami Heat as well. Eastern Conference Finals, that ramps up.
I was talking about football.
No, yeah. But you know what? It is exasperating. I was thinking about this last night. We've been doing the show for 17 years. The Jets have had 2 years. Have the Dolphins even had a year? And the Cleveland Browns had maybe one season. It's 17 years.
The Dolphins
years.
Had the Chad Pennington
you guys
year.
Have
the
known,
Pennington year.
You guys
but
have
it resulted me. In what?
Yeah, first
in
round loss.
What?
First
you,
round loss.
You guys have known me since I was 18 years old. So when I say you guys have known me my entire adult life, it's true. In my entire adult life, the Cleveland Browns have not won a week one NFL game.
Well, it's not only that, Mike, because
that's amazing.
It's one thing to just lose every time. But to lose that way against Baltimore and to have your quarterback
throw an interception the first drive.
No, no, I'm going to go earlier than that. Your quarterback, when it was easier, was just out there saying, no problem, I'm going to kneel.
Yeah.
And then a couple of minutes before the game says, never mind, I'm not going to kneel. And then he goes out there and looks like that. And it makes me wonder, is your quarterback a child? Like, is your quarterback grown up enough for that position?
I don't understand why he wanted to make that public, because a lot of people were talking a lot of a tough talk about the anthem and then didn't go that way. Remember, Bill O'Brien was going to kneel alongside his entire team, and then his entire team didn't even come out for that. I don't appreciate that out there. It seemed as though he was trying to say it to avoid a distraction, and then anytime he says anything... I think there is a maturity issue. There was an accountability issue. You saw that with Freddie Kitchens. I'm cool with all of that, though, as long as he's good. And now I have my doubts.
How could you not?
I mean, look, that's a tough spot. And granted, we've never won week one. I know what that felt like since the Browns came back one time with Jeff Garcia against the Ravens. So it's fine. You're probably going to lose that game regardless. But to play the hits, like a tip ball interception, Odell, this one's puzzling because that guy has a pair of the greatest hands I've ever seen. And 2 years now, the guy is making like key drops, missed field goals, disastrous fake punts, blown out of the water. Not even an ounce of hope. So classic Brown season so far. See you Thursday.
I would say the team of the three that we're talking about, the Dolphins, Jets, and Browns, the team that seems to have some hope is the Dolphins.
Yeah, I thought the Dolphins, I would be encouraged by that. Cam Newton's going to run if he's healthy. You saw that, but you shut down the passing game, I thought, for the most part. Chris, are you encouraged by that performance, even though you won that game last year?
I was encouraged. I was not, like you guys said, I feel like the Dolphins have some, you know, some upside this season. I was not that impressed with the Patriots. Were you guys, like, everyone, I don't, like, Cam Newton looked like he was struggling to get up after, like, the third play. Like, he was fine yesterday, but that's not something that's going to last 16 games. I know that's not a bold
What, him running the ball 15
hurt.
Times?
But it's just, like, I didn't see a 13-3 team with that Patriots team. Like, they won yesterday, but I see 9-7 in their future.
Yeah, but you forget. See, this is what happens with the Patriots. They get to play the Dolphins and the Jets four times a year. I mean, those say they only play the Dolphins once. Those teams aren't very good. It's like it's four automatic wins. You just pencil them in. One at home against the Dolphins, Bills. You're at five before the season starts.
But the Dolphins historically play the Patriots tough, so I don't really know what you're talking about.
Fitzpatrick also turned it over three times, and they were still in it. Like, that game wasn't a blowout. It seemed like it was out of reach at some points in time, but it's because Fitzpatrick just kept turning the ball over.
It's amazing. After losing Brady, the Patriots still have the best quarterback in the AFC East. It's amazing.
It's very Dolphins fan to say after losing by 10 points in a game where your quarterback threw three interceptions, the Patriots didn't look that good to me. We lost to them by 10 points, and I'm encouraged, but they didn't look that good to me, even though we lost to them by 10 points.
But they didn't look that – did they look that good to you? They didn't look that good.
What they looked like is they've got a new offense with a new quarterback, and all they were doing is running the ball and throwing the ball to Edelman over the field. There was no sophistication to what they were doing, and there didn't have to be because the Dolphins couldn't stop what they were doing. What they were doing was working. Just lean on them. Just lean on them all game and see if you get another week of Cam Newton learning the offense.
And I don't understand exactly what the Dolphins are doing on offense. I know Devontae Parker is kind of like their go-to, but it's still struggling to find an identity. I'm discovering
you
who
got
this,
hurt, Mike. So.
I'm discovering who this Gaskin is, and I'm very confused as to why he's leading the team in touches. I'd be really discouraged about the offense, but that Patriots defense seems to be good, though.
Chris, I'll give you something to be encouraged by. Every team in the league is scared of Gilmore except Devontae Parker and the Dolphins, who go right after him. Him getting hurt makes a difference. Him getting Devontae believe it or not,
yes.
Believe it or not, him getting hurt makes a difference to their offense. But honest to God, man, you're going into this season with Ryan Fitzpatrick as your quarterback, and you could say we threw three interceptions and we were still in the game, but Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to give you a bunch of three interception games. Like, it's part of who he is.
I don't really have high expectations for this season, and I have Tua in the chamber. So, like, I'm not going to be that discouraged until Tua gets in and does poorly. I'm going to have this type of chipper attitude, especially right. when the Marlins sweep a doubleheader in, like, the biggest series they've had in years. I'm fine. Like, I'm not discouraged with that loss. I'm good.
It was 14-11 in the fourth quarter. Like, it wasn't a blowout by any means the entire game, and they weren't playing well. It's not to say that the Dolphins are the same level as the Patriots. The Patriots just aren't dominant anymore.
The Dolphins' offense didn't look good, though. Like, I agree with that take. Like, I was like, are we a running team? Are we going to let Fitzpatrick throw it all over the place? It seemed to be a little reckless.
Here's something to be discouraged about, though. You knew that they were going to run the ball because Cam's still learning the offense, so you knew it was coming, and the Patriots still ran 42 times for 217 yards. Like, that's bad. And Dan's right. Now it's just another – they just bought themselves another week of Cam Newton in that offense, working in that offense. That's a bad sign for the Dolphins to not be able to stop what you know is coming.
I want to go back to something Chris said. He said, even if Tua gets on the field and looks that way, he would still be discouraged. Like, wouldn't that be par for the course for a rookie quarterback that had no training camp, no whatsoever, to be just thrown out right. in the middle of an NFL game?
My point is that the only way I'm going to get discouraged on the Dolphins team is if we see Tua this year and he and everybody is like, oh my God, they might have been wrong and he's not good.
Chris,
that's the only way I'm not going to be just like a little giddy all season.
How do you feel
about their record this season?
How do you feel about this portion of it? Because the Bengals started Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow was just throwing intermediary passes, didn't look special, made a couple of rookie mistakes, but they
passed the sniff test, by the way.
They sort of
really on the heels of that.
He looked good. See that run? That's all you
they
need.
Scored
that
13
run.
Points.
He looked good.
He looked good in the uniform, though. Like, he belongs.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
2 minute
sniff
drive
test.
Though.
Yeah. Sorry, we interrupted, Dan.
No, it's okay.
Rookie of the year right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, definitely.
To me, he looked like he wasn't playing against 19-year-olds anymore.
Mm-hmm. Chris, help me out with how you feel about the fact that Tua couldn't beat out Fitzpatrick for the first game of the season, even understanding that there's sort of a new curve in the NFL. It's always been, until very recently, that a young quarterback sits, that offense is too complicated in that league. You don't play someone from the very first game. You wait and you mentor them. The math has kind of changed. So the Bengals start their season with Burrow, but if the Dolphins had started their season with Tua and he had thrown three interceptions as opposed to the guy that you played who threw three interceptions, you'd be down on him, but he would have at least have played. Like, what do you do with the fact that Tua couldn't be impressive enough during training camp to beat out Fitzpatrick?
But isn't that showing vision on the Dolphins' part? Because, like, what are the – they have depth at quarterback. Fitzpatrick's not great, but he's serviceable, and you don't want to throw a rookie out there and ruin his confidence right away. Who are the Bengals going to put in? Ryan Finley is going to be leading the team? Like, they want to put out Burrow. He was the number one pick. They want to see what he has, where Tua, you can kind of have him learn under Fitzpatrick. There was no preseason games for him to get his feet wet, Dan. Like, what are you supposed to do there?
I think Chris asked – I think Dan asked Chris, what do you do with?
I agree with Billy.
Yes.
He hit the nail right on the head.
Really helped you with that laugh there.
Thank you.
I think the thing with Tua is built in. You have the question about his health and his hip, which is why you don't put him out there right now, because if he were totally healthy, number one, he probably wouldn't have been available to you considering where you were drafting. And number two, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, he's a career backup and or plug-and-play guy, so you need Tua to sort of beat him out if Tua's fully fit. I think this is all about Tua's health and easing him in.
But I think what Chris is going through, he's right, by the way. This season's all about Tua. He's not going to get depressed until he learns if Tua is good or not, right? Mike, you and I, what we're facing is totally different. I think my quarterback, Sam Darnold, entering his third season, I don't think he's the guy. I don't think he's the answer, and you're not certain about Baker Mayfield.
No.
At least Chris has hope.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a total restart again.
Yeah,
they're
going
to have to reset and start again. Chris is still holding out hope because he still as bad as this could get for the Dolphins, you're still eventually going to see Tua, and you hold out hope that Tua could be the answer for the next 15, 20 years.
We joke. He has Tua in the chamber, and that's good. And he also feels best about his head coach. You know, Baker Mayfield is on his fourth coach.
First guy ever through 30 games to have four coaches.
Yeah, you don't feel good about Adam Gase. So if I'm a Dolphin fan, yeah, I lose week one to the Patriots. I mean, that's happened to me all the time in my existence. But I feel good that I still have the hope of Tua Tagovailoa, because with us, Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, we're quickly losing hope. We don't have that thing in the chamber like Chris has.
We're also assuming that this Ryan Fitzpatrick's bad. I mean, guys, need I remind you he led the Dolphins in rushing last year? Like, he's not just some nobody out there.
I would worry, Chris, and I would say this to Stugatz as well. Like, it's the NFL, man. Ruining a kid's confidence? Like, he either has – there are very few quarterbacks. The only guy that I would say that about that I've ever seen is David Carr, where he got sacked so much that he went from being a great college quarterback to being useless in the NFL. But if Tua is everything you believe him to be, his confidence isn't going to be ruined because he can't play well in the first game of the season. I understand what you're saying in theory, but if what you want is for Tua to be a franchise savior, he can't be someone whose confidence is ruined because he plays in one game at the beginning of the season and isn't good.
Well, take Baker Mayfield, for example. I don't think what's happening with him is a lack of confidence. The guy's one of the most confident people we know in sports. I think what's happening is you've given him some of the worst head coaches in the history of pro football, and now all of a sudden he can't be accurate. Who loses their accuracy year over year? Yeah. I mean, he was one of the most accurate quarterbacks coming out of college. He looked accurate his rookie year, and now he has zero chemistry with Odell Beckham Jr.
It's crazy.
I want to trade Odell Beckham Jr. and just have bad receivers because I think that Baker Mayfield might be the type that just needs to find the open guy, and he's forcing it to Odell. They cannot, they're oil and water. They cannot get on the same page.
With the whole Dolphins, Jets, Browns debate, the part that makes it the most painful for Mike is a couple seasons ago, the hype of that offseason, they thought like this, they were Super Bowl bound, Browns were.
Chris,
and then to turn into
Chris,
that,
just
like,
last year.
That's what makes it so painful for Mike is like the hype of that offseason.
And the hype was warranted. Look at the teams on paper. I think all of you guys, in terms of talent on paper, Denzel Ward, Myles Garrett, Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., Nick Chubb, this team is way too talented to be in this conversation. And quite honestly, some people would pick the Browns as the worst team of the pack.
If you're redrafting the 2018 draft and you've got four quarterbacks going in the top 10, who here in the Zoom had Josh Allen being the best quarterback Who's got Josh Allen being the best quarterback of the four?
Did you see that pass he missed in the end zone
yesterday?
He's
so bad. He is so bad. They're going to win 10 games with a quarterback who's terrible.
But those legs, man, that is a weapon. Look, Cam Newton had the Josh Allen game in Miami. Miami couldn't stop it. To be able to be that big and that dominant as a ground weapon, there's something to be said about it.
All Tony is saying is, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, and Josh Rosen, who had Josh Allen being the best? And he's right. I mean, he's right. He's the best of the four.
The reason that I don't know if he's right is if I put any of those guys in. But like, if I switch the quarterbacks in that Jets-Buffalo game yesterday, do you think the result is going to be different? If I switch the quarterbacks in that Jets-Buffalo game and I make Darnold the Bills quarterback and I make Allen the Jets quarterback, you think you're getting a different result?
No, I think I'm getting the same result. I do.
I think you're getting a different result depending on... Look, the Buffalo is doing a great job in catering the offense to Josh Allen. What does he have? He has a big arm. Take your deep shot occasionally. Hopefully he's accurate enough to get it.
Hope to get a pass interference.
Hope to get a pass interference. Or just, okay, this is a running weapon. Their head coach came from Carolina. I mean, Cam Newton, his MVP season, he still wasn't this crazy accurate quarterback. That is a massive weapon when you have a quarterback that can run the ball that efficiently.
Josh Allen's not that bad. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb, Dan, and say I think he has a conference championship game in his future.
I agree. Wow. I think a Super Bowl's in his future. I've been saying it for a while. He's got a cannon, man. But I mean, he makes some bad throws, but he also makes some of the prettiest throws you've ever seen.
I've been saying it for a while for a guy that's been in the league for 3 years.
I've been saying it since he's been in the league.
Like 100
when you know, you know, Dan.
Exactly.
There was a pass yesterday that I would have completed.
Chris, it was crazy. Chris.
He threw it into the stands, Chris, like 10 yards over
Prince,
his head.
That play started at the 4-yard line. He rolled to his left to the 12-yard line. There was no one in front of him, and there was a receiver, and no one else in the end zone except that receiver, and he launched it into the pandemic, straight into the stands.
Would you rather go into the stands or into the other team's hands?
Exactly. True.
Billy, I'm on to you, okay? You're being a week
football
one
expert.
A week one asshole. I'm on to you. You're just making all the arguments to upset people.
No.
You've succeeded.
Yeah, and Billy likes to play the neutral NFL fan, but if he leans to any team, it's the Indianapolis Colts. And we found out all together that it's a Phillip Rivers problem.
Yeah. I didn't know you were a Colts fan. You lean Colts?
I like the Colts. I like the Dolphins. You know, I like the sport. I like pigskin, Dan. Hand in the dirt. That's what I'm all about.
Now, this has nothing to do with the fact that I had Bengals money line yesterday, but that kicker was definitely faking injury, right?
That's the new move.
Like, the heavy play. Yeah,
I was laughing the entire time he was walking off the
field. It's a good move. We found the Stugatz of kickers.
Yeah.
That's exactly how Stugatz would have handled blowing the game-tying kick.
He didn't notice he pulled a muscle until he noticed that the kick was going 40 yards to the right.
Had it gone through the uprights, he would have sprinted off the field.
I mean, he was on a Marcus Smart delay.
How in God's name? You guys tell me if this doesn't feel familiar to you. We did this same opening segment in week one last year with the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Browns. Like, it was the same damn segment. All our teams, like the game.
My entire life.
No, but
we saved this a year ago.
The season's over after 1 week.
It sucks. What happened with the Marlins?
What happened with the Marlins?
6-0, more like 7-0.
What does that even mean?
Because he pitched 7 yesterday.
Oh, Dan, classic CG, 7-inning CG. And it was a doubleheader, the 7-inning doubleheaders, where we were questioning, should 6-0 go out and start game 2 of the doubleheader?
Who's we? It was just you. It wasn't
No, we were out there. We were all asking. Me and Chris were talking to each other. Twitter was a buzz with, should 6-0 go out there and start game 2? What would you have done if you're the Phillies? You're Joe Girardi. You don't have your Starbucks anymore because now you're managing, so you don't see Stugatz every morning getting right. The Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And you're there. Oh, my God, we can't solve 6-0. And here he is, game 2, because game 1 was only 7 innings, and he's starting game 2 also. By the way, way too much time in between those doubleheaders, all right? They finished that first game really early, and they're like, oh, 30 minutes or so, and it felt like an hour and a half between the two games because they just wanted to start at 4 and have it be the 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Way too much time before the doubleheaders. Dan, this was the week. I told you, I think, 2 weeks ago about the Marlins. I said, this is going to be the make it or break it week. They got 3 against the Braves, and then they got 7 against the Phillies. By the way, you know what other series are 7-game series? Playoff series. And right now, the Marlins have won 4 out of 6 games in this series. So they've essentially already advanced in this regular season playoffs going on right now. And today we're just going to have an extra game for fun. For S's and gigs, as they say, is what we're going to be playing for today.
S's and
we're going to see
gigs.
If we can take 5 of 7 against the Phils. And the Phils is a big series. It's gotten past the point of whether we're questioning whether the Marlins are going to make the playoffs or not, right? I think we can all agree on that.
What seed will we be? Yeah.
It's going to be a thing of what seed are they going to be? And here's an unpopular thing. Everybody says, we want the Marlins to get in as the second team in the East, right? And they could still potentially get in as the first team in the East, right? Not the way I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it. I want the Marlins to get in as the first wild card because we're at the point in the season where I'm looking at the playoff brackets and I'm looking for favorable matchups.
Love it.
And I think if they get the one seed in the wild card, they could avoid a lot of the teams in the West. They could avoid the Padres. They could potentially avoid the Dodgers and maybe sneak their way into the NLCS against the Braves. They can beat the Braves. We all agree they can beat the Braves in the playoffs, right? They can beat the Braves. Dan, they can beat the Braves. Dan?
I can't believe that you're saying we all agree that they're going to make the playoffs.
They are.
I mean,
he's been saying that definitively, and every time I check the standings, it's like a half game in that spot, but he's maintained that they're in.
Check
it's a bygone conclusion.
Check it again, boys. Yesterday, you know what the Marlins did? TCB. They did what they had to do, and the teams that had to lose lost yesterday, except the Braves. I haven't given up on number one in the East yet.
What does TCB mean?
Taking care of business.
Yeah.
Oh, Stugatz knows. Stugatz TCBs.
What does TCB mean?
What a silly question. The most ridiculous thing you've said all day today.
Honestly, though, Sixto Sanchez, complete game yesterday. It was only seven innings because of a doubleheader, but complete game. The dude is an ace. If the Marlins make it into the playoffs, they have an ace. Now, obviously, he's never been there before, so, you know, he could have some bumps in the road, but this is it's legit, one of,
but guess what? He's like acting hype, like he's been there before.
Right. Our hype, like, sounds hyperbolic, but this team is legitimately in the hunt, and I'm excited, Dan.
He's really, I mean, even if he goes this year, he's technically still never going to be there. I mean, where's he going? He's going to pitch in front of no fans. I mean, who cares?
Can we?
No, that's normal.
Saying that works out for you guys. It works out for the Marlins that he doesn't have to do that.
I have a serious question, and obviously they're not going to like this question, but I feel like the Marlins may kind of be an advantage because they're used to playing in front of smaller crowds. Right? So like,
this isn't
a big adjustment for them, right? Where other teams could be like, well, this feels different. This doesn't feel like the same energy or whatever. We're like,
they're right at home. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is that ridiculous to say? Maybe.
What's not ridiculous to say is that sometimes young players can be dumb. That's how they won the 2003 World Series over the Yankees. Too dumb to be afraid. Like, if you go back, think about this, okay? Think about what I'm about to say. That whole Josh Beckett thing was crazy in retrospect. Like, no one could hit him over the course of one postseason, and he was never that pitcher, you know, again after that.
Until another postseason. It's weird.
Right. He did it in a second postseason. Yes.
Just need the lightning in the bottle. And then he pitched that no-hitter like his last year. Afraid. Who are they supposed to be afraid of, by the way? The Phillies?
The Dodgers?
The Dodgers.
Yeah, but they haven't played the Dodgers.
The Padres?
Yeah, be afraid of the Dodgers. But they haven't played them. They're only playing the East. We'll get to them and we'll be afraid of them. Billy. But if they get the one in the wild card, they're going to avoid those teams. I'm telling you, look at the way the brackets are going to play out. We want to get the first wild card seed and not the one or two. It's not favorable.
I love that.
Did you see MLB announce a bubble for a certain playoff series? So, I mean, the Dodgers are guaranteed like home field in the postseason because I think Dodger Stadium's one of the locations.
Yeah, but we're not going to see them there. We're going to see them in Arlington or wherever.
I think, Texas. Aren't both the final places in Texas, I thought?
Yeah. See them in Texas.
But Billy's so right. They leapfrogged the Phillies into the second place spot, and now they'd face the Padres. I'm with Billy. Let's avoid the Padres.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're almost rooting for the Marlins to lose. I love scoreboard watching.
We need to get to the point where we're like securely in there, and then we start kind of tanking a little bit to get back down, but not too much, just enough. You want to tank the right amount so that you're not too good and you're not too bad. Because guess what, Dan? If they're second in the wild card, they play the Dodgers, and you want no part of the Dodgers. You want to be the one in the wild card so you can go against the two seed against the Braves, because the Braves are a beatable team. You want the Braves in the first round.
Billy, in the span of 60 seconds, you went from saying I'm not afraid to anybody to tanking games to avoid the Dodgers.
Yeah, no, they shouldn't be afraid of anyone yet because they've only played the East, and the East is not very good. I don't know if you caught on to that.
Can we beat
the Braves. They can hang with the Braves. The Phillies, get out of here, Phillies. And that guy, I forgot his name. I was looking him up this morning or last night. That Phillies broadcaster guy that used to play in the league, they were calling him bottom feeders.
Yeah.
In your face, dude. Yeah. I'll get back to you whenever I remember your name, but I've forgotten it at the moment, so I don't have anything for you right now.
Can you slow down for a second? If they win the division, I know you're excited, the Marlins, okay? Postseason again. If they win the division, who would they play potentially? I need to hear this out. Are you telling me it's the Padres or the Dodgers?
If they win the division, all right, good question. Right now, the Braves would be the two seed, it's looking like. So they would play the first of the wild card teams. So it depends who the first of the wild card teams is. Actually, if they win the division, maybe they would play the Phillies in the first round.
That's what I'm saying.
Or potentially the Giants in the first round.
Right.
It looks like we either want to win the division or be in the wild card spot. I just want to come in second in the division.
Win the division?
Are we rooting for them to win or lose games? I'm confused.
Right now, we want them to win games, right? And guess what, guys? We're in good position to win games because this week, after this, again, just an S's and Giggs game against the Phillies because they already won the series.
Right.
They play the Red Sox, who have not been very good, and they play the Nationals, who have not been very good.
Mm-hmm.
This could be the week that we kind of solidify things, because after this, I think we play the Braves and then the Yankees, and then that's kind of how the season wraps out. But if they can fatten up on some wins now, they put themselves in the driver's seat to control their own destiny and decide if they want to win out or lose out. Love headed the into the playoffs.
Love the driver's seat.
Now it makes sense.
Win the division? Do you guys?
Yeah, they're like 3 games back.
They're 3.5 back, but their run differential, Billy, they're the only team.
Who cares? Don't look at run differential. All of a sudden, we care about run. Let me tell you a story. When you lose by 20 runs, your run differential is going to be off. Okay, we had 2 games.
If I gave them those 20 runs, they'd still be negative run differential. If I gave them those 20 runs, they're minus 20. They're the only team in the sport. The only one with a negative run differential that has a winning record.
We did that. Me and Billy already did this show via text yesterday. We know Dan's going to bring up the run differential. They lost by 23 runs in one game. What if they won that game by 4 runs?
Yeah. Listen to me.
What's your run differential?
They were gifted 14, by the way. We don't need to get into that again.
If they won that game, they'd still have a negative run differential.
It would be a lot better, and you wouldn't be bringing it up.
And you're not paying attention to the 11-run loss they had against the Phillies over the weekend. Also, right. So that's 31 runs right there. We don't need to look. Let me ask you something. Do they rank these teams by run differential?
They're two games over 500. They're two games over 500. Two games.
Yeah.
Right.
And
your point?
What's your point? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Are we going to go into how the Pittsburgh Pirates are 16 games under 500? No. Who cares about that? They're in the playoffs. That's all that matters, Dan. Why are you such a negative Nancy today?
Because somebody's got to be, Billy. If someone isn't here, you guys would sound like total loons talking about the Marlins winning the division.
Are you telling me Crow sounded like a loon in the good old days?
You know that Warren Cromartie sounded like a loon in the good old days. And in the bad old days and always, anytime you were talking to Warren Cromartie.
Talking hardball.
Call me, homie.
You guys sound totally insane. You sound
insane, Dan. If you watch this team, they got pitchers. We don't really have hitters. We need hitters. But our pitching staff,
they have pitchers
some days and some days they don't, and they have hitters some days and some days they don't. Right. But on the days that they have both, Dan, watch out.
We're 2/3 of the way through the season, correct? We're 2/3
of the
way
left.
Yeah, 12 to go.
No, there's 14 days left in the season. The Marlins have 16 games left, 2 doubleheaders.
They are 44 games into their season, the Marlins.
This
Who would have thunk it?
This is the way. This is the way to get us interested in this baseball team. Make it a very short season. Make it total chaos.
I've seen people complain like, hey, this may not at all be sustainable, but man, is it fun. Is Jeter's plan working?
That's kind of the big question, right? Like, that's the thing here. And I know that like I'm super excited and I was like having fun, but it's also just a 60-game season, right? So like next year, like they could make the playoffs this year. And I think that the first round now, I thought it was a best of 5, and now I think it might be a best of 3. I don't know what's going on. Baseball needs to really make up their mind.
That's
because
good.
It seems like week to week.
Billy, they need to make the postseason. The Marlins are going to play one inning.
One game scenario.
Whoever can win this one inning will advance.
Look, they have the pitching to win a short series, right? So they could advance in the short series. But I think, and I don't want to be this person, but I think that we need to be like cautious with what we see in this team, right? Because it's a shortened season and there's kind of different situations going on than other years. And there's going to be short series in the playoffs where like next year could be a letdown year if they don't repeat kind of what they're doing this year. But what they're doing this year is strange because of the circumstances. So I don't know if this is working. They have the pieces, right? But I still think that they're a year or two away, even if they do make the postseason this year.
The encouraging part is that they're bringing up all these young guys. Like, they're not worried about, like, time in the majors and, like, how much they have to pay these guys if they bring them up. They've already had, like, 18 guys make major league debuts. I just feel like this team is more worried about, let's just get the best 25 guys up here right now, as opposed to, oh, no, let's leave this guy in the minors because we don't want his service time. We don't want to pay. Like, they're just like, we want to compete, so we're just trying to get the best roster.
In 44 games, they have close to 160 roster moves already. Like, that's how much movement there has been.
You laugh, Mike, but Chris just said something. In their history, they've never had so many guys make their major league debut in a season, and they played 42 games. Usually, you get 160.
Right.
Well, that's what happens when a third of the team gets COVID.
Right.
Well, are they fully back? Is everybody back from COVID?
I think so. All the big names are.
Billy,
sure.
I would say that while I understand you sort of tempering it with perspective, the best possible thing that could happen for the Marlins is them sort of
randomly and flukishly sort of just making it to the playoffs so they have something to build on in terms of fans and enthusiasm and something. This is the most we've talked about the Marlins in 10 years. Like, this is certainly the most positive we talked about the Marlins and since like Girardi was winning manager of the year.
No, I mean, I don't think it's flukish if they make it to the postseason this year. Like, this has been a harder year for them than they'd have to face in a regular season with all of the roster turnover that they've had to do. And this really is, I don't want to sound cliche, but it really is like a team effort. Like, from top to bottom, the front office, like, they have the right people in place that they've moved up and down, and they've been able to maintain while this is going on, while they had the outbreak, while they've faced all these things that other teams haven't faced, right? But I don't want people to see this year and be like, oh, yeah, it was a fluke year, because they seem to be building and going in the right direction. I just think that this is happening a little sooner than people would anticipate. And it's setting up for a letdown next year. If you see this year as, wow, look, they're a playoff team, they're good. And if next year they miss the playoffs or they finish, you know, 5 games under 500 or whatever it may be, you're like, oh, that was a fluke. Where it's not a fluke, it's just happened a little sooner than it should have or than people thought that it would have. And it's setting up for a potential letdown, but it shouldn't be a letdown because they're headed in the right direction.
Right, but you wonder what it would look like over 162. But I would say this, like in terms of flukish, most of the teams that were supposed to be good in a 162-game season, they're the teams that are good right now in a 60-game season, with the exception of the Marlins.
Well, the Nationals. The Nationals stink.
I know, but
they won the championship.
But the Nationals weren't very good over the first 60 games last year either.
I know, but the Rays were supposed to be this kind of good. Like, most of these teams were supposed to be this kind of good. They were.
Looking at the Padres roster now, you could look at them and say, maybe this was going to be the year from them. But they've also caught lightning in a bottle.
They didn't even know they were going to be this good. They didn't know they were going to be players at the trade deadline.
I know,
the
Padres. And they made really good buys at the trade deadline, too. That Clevinger deal is looking awesome for them.
Yeah.
Billy is excited. Don't let me, the sour sport, the guy who gets criticized by Miami by never celebrating the home teams enough unless they're the Miami Heat, don't let me sour you with perspective, Billy. You go on your Looney Tunes binge of they're going to win the division and we need to start tanking a couple of games for playoff positioning. Do not let me throw some tepid in your enthusiasm.
We're not there yet, Dan, but give it a week or so and we're going to, I'm telling you, if they get through this week against, actually, you know what? Let's see what happens this week, because they're playing the Nationals and they're playing the Red Sox. And at the end of this week, headed into that series against the Braves, that could be a series for first place. So I don't know if we're going to be tanking yet.
You just slammed down your pen and announced
I slammed down two pens. I slammed down a Jungle Island Luminosa light up pen that's not lighting up right now. There you go. You see it lighting up. And I slammed down a Sharpie because that's how serious I am about what's going on right now.
But you slammed,
and you should be too.
But you slammed down a pen and then your big announcement was, let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens.